America. We're back. Starting another week here on America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you in those nooks and crannies. Were you one of the many people who panicked when Google went out? Supposedly people were calling 911. When are people going to realize that you can't call 911 when you don't get your cheeseburger the way you want it when you go through a drive-through, or when suddenly your internet doesn't work? We're going to talk about that. Also, remember the Blade Runner? Oscar Pistorius, back in court, might face some new charges. A lot of Americans and others following this story because we were spoon-fed how fabulous he was when it came to the Olympics. So a lot of people fell in love with his story, but not so fast. In the meantime, Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. You know, a lot of people emailed this show to talk about the $1.3 billion and whether or not we should really be funding anybody in that kind of a situation. And this is why we have to be oh so careful when we choose who we, pardon the pun, get in bed with on foreign soil. So now at least 36 people have been killed in a Muslim Brotherhood prison escape attempt. And there's a real divide on what to do with Egypt. It was part of the Sunday Swirl, my nickname for the talking heads on all of the Sunday television shows, because it's political. Whoever has something to say, Washington-wise, they're on. It doesn't matter if they're on break or what's happening. So we'll give you two sides of that coin. Much like the NSA debate, although there are some big-time Republicans who are duking it out because they see in different directions as far as the NSA is concerned. So we'll also jump to that. Closer to home, as I know some people who live in the great state of Idaho, and there's some people listening to us there as well from what I understand, the fire is just burning out of control, just what's been described as a monster fire, and I've seen video and shots of it. This is radio. But we have had so many fires that we've talked about. We've talked about, just think, if you will, for a second, that you're standing in one of our national parks, let's say, that is just filled with trees, and you see nothing but smoke and the tall flames shooting above those trees. It is a frightening, frightening sight. And that's what's happened. The actual miles that have been burnt don't sound like a lot, but it's 160 square miles. They've evacuated 2,500 houses near Ketchum. I mean, it's a serious wildfire. It's very rare that you really hear this about Idaho. We're always talking about Colorado. We're talking about New Mexico, Arizona. We're always talking about California, California, California. But in this case, this fire, luckily, it wasn't even worse than it could have been because they had some cloud cover. Lots of firefighters coming in from all over the place trying to do whatever they can. So if you think of the amount of homes, they estimate maybe 1,200 people, 1,500 people, 19 different types of aircraft were out there battling the Beaver Creek fire. That's what it's called. And now they're saying it's 9 to 10% contained. I mean, you just got to think of the resources and to give you an idea when something like this explodes. 90 fire engines, what I say, 19 different types of aircraft. And you know who you have living there? You have Tom Hanks, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, a lot of pricey property in that area. And then everybody else who lives in Idaho. So really, really tough, tough, tough conditions there. And some of the areas are even saying there were people, because there's some other fires that are also burning. There's a series of fires that are burning. It's almost like you could connect a line if you looked at a map. I was looking at a map today, and someone was telling me, okay, look here, look there. While that's going on in Idaho, and then you've got these houses where You've got firemen that are going house to house because they're worried that some people do not, I've talked about this before, some people, despite the risks, will not heed the advice to evacuate, evacuate. They want to stay. They think that they're going to turn on their hoses and they're going to be able to fight the fire, and that's a tragedy when that happens because too often somebody gets hurt and often they die. And the firemen, they were worried about this, so they were going house to house to make sure that that wasn't happening and that the people, in fact, were leaving. Same thing in Utah. They had a bunch of fires that bubbled up about 45 miles east of Salt Lake City, and they're saying there's a place called Rockport Estates. I've actually been by that before, and they say that the people, because some of these are really super old buildings and whatnot, the people should be able to return there. And you know, here's the difference. The fire there, 2,000 acres. But a lot of that was dry brush, and a lot of that were some old structures and that kind of thing. And now the difference is that fire is 70% contained. So lately, throughout the summer, we've been hearing about a lot of fires. And Idaho, I think, to me, the big surprise, because often we don't hear about that. It's usually one of the other areas that I mentioned. It's Mother Nature, I'm telling you. Pick your poison, whatever part of the country you live in, you know that there's a possibility of certain things happening. And the sad thing about Idaho is they're talking about the possibility that, and they really believe this, that it was lightning that started this. That lightning started this fire that hit this kind of resort slash community area, and that all of a sudden it went up and it just burned so fast. It was very, very, very tough to get any traction on that early going as they tried to make something happen there. All right, also coming up in this hour of America tonight, we're going to tell you the terrible story, horrible story that I heard over the weekend about a Georgia high school football star who died after being tackled. You think of heat, think of things that have happened with rough two-a-days for players. And now in this case, when we talk about head injuries and what they're doing pro football-wise and what others are doing in high school football and in Pop Warner football to be concerned about the helmets and the kids and what happens. So what happened here in Georgia, just a complete freaky thing and an awful, awful tragedy and a huge surprise, of course, to the people in that area who are still grappling with making sense of what just doesn't make sense to anybody. And we'll jump to that story, too, in this hour as well. If you want to throw in your two cents on Egypt, you can certainly do it. How should the U.S. respond to what is only described as a chaotic situation where Egypt has imploded? Who's in charge? Really nobody. There's snipers all over the place. The military, of course, in Egypt wants the money. And I think we need to say no thank you and back out of this situation. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. What did two lawmakers think? You got that coming up on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
I think the actions of the last week, no doubt, are going to cause us to suspend aid, and I think it's at the same time a time for us to recalibrate and look at what is our national interest.
Obviously, we cannot let what's been happening just happen, but I think we have to be very careful and not cut off our nose to spite our face. These are very, very difficult choices.
That two different versions. Don't cut off aid, should suspend aid, shouldn't suspend aid. What do we do? That's Congressman Elliot Engel from New York, Democrat from New York, and Senator Bob Corker. You'd recognize his voice, Republican from Tennessee. So this is it, the definitive debate. There is no middle ground with this. Which way is it? Do you stroke a big check to Egypt and say, well, my goodness, how can we abandon that country? Look, they're flailing. That's not good. They border our friend Egypt. We got to do something. We got to get involved in this, man. We got to help these people. There is massive fear and intimidation and all kinds of nonsense happening here. We cannot back away from this fight. We need to dig in and we need to help. Even if we feel uncertain about where our money is being spent. So here's the latest. Let me flush it out for you a little bit more. There was an attempted breakout, I mentioned this at the top just briefly, by Muslim Brotherhood prisoners. 36 people are dead because of that, right? And this is the supporters of the guy we backed eventually, President Mohamed Morsi. And the idea is, forget it, resist the new government. Now, the general there, General al-Sisi, says that Egypt has room for everybody. And this is from his mouth. We are keen to save every drop of Egyptian blood, except for that we've spilled so much of it, that we have bodies that are charred, that are unidentifiable, basically, and it's going to take forever to do that. And then we have others on ice somewhere. But we are all about saving the blood, right? He says that confrontation is not in the interest of those who wish to confront us, because we are determined to protect Egypt and its people, which means we are determined to spill blood. So if you go up against us, we will shoot you in the face many, many times, and you will be dead. New protests, all kinds of protests against the military-installed interim government. That's what keeps happening all over the country, not just in Cairo, not just in Alexandria, all over the place. They want to stamp out the Muslim Brotherhood as fast as possible. Some. But then there are others who want to be part of the Muslim Brotherhood. So the Freedom and Justice Party, have you ever heard of them? The Brotherhood's political arm says that the number of dead are 52 now. And they should have a full investigation of the deaths. They're not going to get that. See, what happened is the armed men tried to free the prisoners, and then that's when everything fell apart. Now, let me re-rack the tape for you a little bit. Mohamed Morsi was toppled in July. Coup. Although we won't say coup, because if we say coup, then that means we have to automatically say we can't give money. So there have been weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of protests, you do the math, by the Muslim Brotherhood and the supporters. Al-Sisi has even gone on the tube for the five people that have televisions left in Egypt, because there's been rioting, looting, all kinds of things, and people smashing televisions. But okay, let's assume that, I don't know, 50% of the population has television. He's urging the supporters to review their national positions and realize very well that the legitimacy belongs to the people. But only the people who are wearing the uniform. So he's saying we can choose whoever we want to govern us, but until then, we have to have armed forces to safeguard what's happening here. And the Muslim Brotherhood is calling BS on that and saying that's not true whatsoever. Now, the people that died recently, there's more than 700 in the past week, but that includes police officers and, you know, 70 police officers. There have been security forces that have been wounded and toppled, and as I said, things were bubbling up all over the place. So they're trying to stop this. I mean, they're trying to say, let's stop it, let's not have spill any more blood, but that's not working. Everybody's saying, stop it, just we'll stop it. Do they understand that this horse has left the barn? And you better have a big lasso if you're going to try to rein it in. So the United States gives Egypt more than $1 billion a year. And they say, you know, we're thankful for the money, but threatening to stop it is unacceptable. So just give us your money. Stroke the check, right? And we would really like it if you give us another $2 billion on top of that. Saudi Arabia has pledged $5 billion in grants and loans. The United Arab Emirates says they're going to give $1 billion to Egypt. And then they'll lend additional money, too, and that would be interest-free. So here's the problem. The Cairo stock market, for what it's worth, has plunged, right? The unemployment rate is off the charts. There's no shovel-ready jobs there. So it's off the charts. The turmoil is brutal. I mean, it really is. How can I describe it to you? Mass chaos. Just mass chaos. So whatever political dialogue is going on, I don't get it. Because there's not this thing of we're not trying to spill Egyptian blood. Baloney. There's blood being spilled all over the place. And the idea that the Muslim Brotherhood is, man, we are the good guys. We are the knights in shining armor. Are you kidding? They're terrorists. I'm not saying every single one is a terrorist, but let's just say we have identified some to be terrorists. So what kind of government is going to end up here? And here's the thing. This goes back to religion, 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 religion in the Middle East. Can I say it again? Think of Iraq and the naivety of believing that ultimately we can make those purple fingers hold up. And now they're having all kinds of problems. Why? Because you have thousands of years of hatred and problems and three major religions. People just don't want to believe this. And it's the same thing with Egypt. It's the same thing that that's happening. You have anti-Morsi protesters who they say were raping hundreds of women in the square. Then you have 16 others who were killed with guns near the university. You've had deaths on both sides of this. So who's the good guy here? I mean, this is the bottom line is Egypt does not want the Muslim Brotherhood anyway. They don't want them. They want them out, period. That's it. The military threw a coup and got rid of Mohamed Morsi, although we can't say that because then we can't give the aid, the money, the $1.3 billion. The election, was that even democratic? Is there a democracy in that little corner of the world there in Egypt of what's happening there? I mean, really. Listen, I'm all for it. If you can spread the power of democracy and people can actually have a real voice, that's one thing. But I don't believe they have a real voice in this. And right now, you have nothing but Pandora's box that has been opened up on those people in Egypt. They're trying to get out of there, many of them, as fast as they possibly can. Coming up, our weekly re-rack. You're going to love this if you missed it. David Swanson, he was in the courtroom last week listening to Army Private Bradley Manning. Manning's sentence is expected to be handed down maybe this Tuesday. He could face 90 years in prison and not be eligible for parole or any kind of clemency until he's in his 50s, I guess, if you added up the amount of years. Well, he'll hear closing arguments Monday afternoon in this. And remember, what is Manning accused of? The largest breach of U.S. classified material in our history. The 25-year-old apologized that he hurt the United States. And what will happen? Will he end up getting the maximum? Is there a chance there'll be some kind of leniency? What does he get for releasing 700,000 confidential cables, war logs, and other stuff to WikiLeaks? I think they give him the maximum. I think he gets the maximum. Coming up, must hear this. David Swanson, inside, only 30 people were in the courtroom. He was one of them. He says Bradley Manning is really getting the knife, and he should be a free man. That's next on America Tonight.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival. Survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Utopia Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
This trial has wound down. It's about the sentencing. Many of you have called in to weigh in, have sent emails, etc. And Bradley Manning at this point is, in a sense, I think, fighting for his life. Somebody who was in the courtroom, David Swanson, joins us, and he wrote a great piece, blogged about it. Screaming in Bradley Manning's Trial is the title of it. He's with RootsAction.org. David, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
I'm glad to.
Tell me, first of all, tell me what it was like, and you described it brilliantly, by the way, in your blog post, but for the listeners across the nation now hearing you for the first time, what was it like to be in the courtroom as this was all going down?
Well, typically when I'm in a congressional hearing on Capitol Hill that's, you know, half as offensive as this was, I shout something out and get hauled out of there. Here I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to do anything to hurt Bradley Manning and his legal team's efforts. But their efforts were to argue that he was not in his right mind, that he was immature, that he was troubled, and that he now has learned his lessons, and he's very, very sorry for the damage he did. And so he apologized for damaging the United States, even though he greatly benefited the United States by exposing what our government is doing so we can see. And he apologized for hurting people, even though through the whole ordeal there was no evidence ever presented that he hurt anyone. And so it was rather painful to watch.
You know, and what's interesting is, too, is we tried to wrestle with this term whistleblower, and all of the information that was put out there was the biggest ever classified information, you know, leaked out. But in whistleblowing, as far as whistleblowing is concerned, I mean, this has to be, and you say it, it has to be one of the biggest and most significant whistleblowing moments in our history, but they didn't talk about anything of that sort. Nothing about what was prevented or what happened as a result. Were you surprised by that?
I was somewhat. I was surprised that there was no discussion whatsoever over the possible benefits or harms of various types of sentence that he might be given. And I was disturbed that there was no mention whatsoever of the good that he had done, of the laws that he was upholding while violating lesser laws, of his legal and moral duty to be a whistleblower, of the status of hero that he's earned around the world, that he's four times a nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize, that he's credited by many with having finally ended the war in Iraq by exposing various crimes that persuaded the Iraqi government to reject the Obama White House's pleas to allow the occupation to continue with criminal immunity for U.S. troops, that the members of the government in Tunisia credit him with having strongly boosted that nonviolent democratic movement that overthrew a tyrant. You go through country after country. The missile strikes by the U.S. in Yemen that the government of Yemen falsely took credit for at U.S. instruction, that collaboration exposed by Bradley Manning, and the fear put into State Department officials and their colleagues around the world that if they engage in crimes and corruption going forward, it might be exposed. That benefit has been greatly appreciated by many around the globe. Not a mention whatsoever that he might have done any good, just this pretense that he did some vague sort of harm.
And what's interesting is you said all of what you just mentioned there, the wars, the things that have happened, what he would have been a catalyst for. It's interesting that so much of that other side has not been revealed. I say this all the time on America Tonight. It's about labels, traitor, hero, Nobel Prize, nominee, troubled, wanted to switch genders, all this other stuff. Was that putting all of that out there as far as the prosecution was concerned? Do you think that was to do anything to tear down his character was what they were after?
If so, they had a willing and eager partner in the defense team, which made the entire presentation yesterday, including two psychotherapists, one who had treated Manning in Iraq and another hired by the defense team, his sister, his aunt, and himself, all focused on his gender issues, the stress he was under, the stress from his alcoholic parents and upbringing and fetal alcohol syndrome and Asperger's, and the stress from his relationship with his boyfriend and his desire to switch genders, and his suffering from what they almost treated as a disease, which they called post-adolescent idealism, which I really wish we could bottle or make contagious in some way, but they treated it as not entirely acceptable in that it motivated him to engage in these misdeeds. And so there was this pitch by the defense team to present him as troubled for these motives that had nothing to do with what he seems to have been troubled by in the chat logs that exposed him way back when. He seemed to have been troubled by war crimes. Not a mention whatsoever of that. No mention that there was any war involved during the whole course of the day. Rather, he was troubled by these other personal defects. He wasn't thinking clearly, but he's a very likable guy, and the judge should be nice to him. And in fact, he did come off as a very likable guy. And the prosecution was focused purely on making him look like an unlikable guy. They just weren't very good at it.
Yeah. You mentioned this at the top, and of course, when Bradley Manning actually addressed the court, do you think that was a smart play by his attorney to have him do that?
I think once his defense team had adopted this strategy of being apologetic for doing wrong rather than demanding credit for having been a whistleblower, they did it very, very skillfully, very, very well. His sister's testimony was incredibly heart-wrenching. People were openly weeping in the courtroom and outside after the break. And his testimony, which was just a 3-minute statement that he read, unsworn, meaning he wouldn't be cross-examined. The combination was very, very powerful. I mean, if sympathy for an individual and the hardship of his life meant anything, as everyone in the courtroom assumed it did, then they played that strategy very, very well. It does not, however, leave one expecting Bradley Manning to have a voice, if he's even capable of having a voice from a military prison, along the lines of a John Brown or a Mumia Abu-Jamal. I mean, he's not going to be speaking out against injustice as the world's most famous prisoner. He's going to be continuing to apologize, it looks like.
Depending on what happens with Manning, and what does your, because you were there in the courtroom and there was obviously media there and there's discussion and chitter-chatter in the hallways, what's your feeling about, and who knows, but how many years Manning will get? What do you think this judge will ultimately say?
I don't know, but this is a judge who, during the course of this process, has been offered a promotion by the government to the appeals court to which this would be appealed, which is doubly disturbing. This is a judge who, during the guilt and innocence phase, allowed the prosecution all sorts of outrages and violations of Bradley Manning's rights. This is not a fair playing field. This is a judge who's a subordinate of the president, the commander-in-chief, who declared him guilty months before the trial, which typically results in great difficulties in trying someone, not in this case. So the question is, you know, there's no mandatory minimum. The judge could give him nothing, and rightly should, but I have no reason to bet any money on that. I think you have to lean more closely toward the other end, toward the 90 years, which is the sentence that is facing him.
We're speaking with David Swanson, RootsAction.org. David, when you look at what's happened with Bradley Manning and then the situation with Ed Snowden, and he's got the asylum now in Russia, and the thought is he may still end up in Latin America. But do you think that this dissuades people from blowing the whistle if they have the opportunity, they see something that they think is majorly wrong that needs to be exposed to the American people, and it has to do especially with the government?
Well, I don't think we need to speculate. Many journalists who report on Washington, D.C., have been stating in the aftermath of these two cases that their regular sources are very, very reluctant to speak. We saw the man who ran the company now shut down that Edward Snowden used for email speaking the other day and saying that he had to shut down his company rather than spy on all of his customers for the government, but he couldn't say a word about what the government had asked him to do unless he flees the country. This is the climate of secrecy. That there's an internal threat program established now by the White House requiring that government employees snitch on each other. And yet, what happened to Bradley Manning did not dissuade Edward Snowden. There are always going to be exceptions. There are always going to be people inspired by the heroism of others. And that's our best hope at this point.
David Swanson, thanks so much. I know that you're probably just tuckered out from everything that you've been doing. We appreciate the time on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you. I just want to holler when my soul feels free. Now, bro.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA Drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA Drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA Drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
You are the target of those who would trample the liberties of free men.
The enemy may have changed.
A cold war.
But the threat to our freedom has not. Atlas survival shelters are light years beyond those of the past.
The fallout shelter is the best defense.
Large, comfortable, secure. The strongest shelters money can buy. It's time you see them at IWantThatBunker.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Atlas survival shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Can you pluck a chicken in about 90 seconds? You can with Power Plucker. Plucking by hand is a chore, but the Power Plucker makes it fast and easy. Simply chuck Power Plucker into your power drill and watch those feathers fly off. Save time and money with our complete home processing kits, too. For free USA shipping and 10% discount, go to PowerPlucker.com and enter promo code RADIO. PowerPlucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me, and I will write you a song. Come away with me.
He wasn't breathing. He wasn't breathing at all. Time was just fading. It was just fading away, you know, to the point where we just waiting. And it just took a while for somebody to get there.
Segment here in this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a good one. We mentioned at the top some of the crazy things that were going on. Egypt imploding in 20 different directions. It's a battle between the Muslim Brotherhood and the military, and everybody caught in between. For the United States, it's are you in or you're out? You're stroking the big check or are you stepping away from this? My prediction is big check ends up going to Egypt, which is just a drop in the bucket because they have massive unemployment, all kinds of other problems. Saudi Arabia is dumping some money in. The United Arab Emirates is dumping money in. And the problem is, who's running the show? And the funny thing is, you think about this, Hosni Mubarak, decades and decades of a, quote, dictatorship. Then he is booted. Then he is put in prison. And, of course, there was nepotism gone wild with Mubarak. Everybody around him got rich in his family, and then people got tired of that. Then the next thing you know, now we have this massive uncertainty, too. And for Israel, I'm sure they wouldn't say this out loud, but during the Mubarak reign, there was no problem because nothing was happening in Egypt. It was nice for them. They didn't have to worry about what was happening along that particular border. So you know we're going to be talking about this a lot. You can always weigh in on Egypt and the big check. You can shoot me an email on it, americatonight.net, or jingle these digits, 855-266-5283. I also said, now we're seeing all these head injuries in football and whatnot. And, you know, is there anything bigger in America pastime-wise than football, the NFL, the biggest sport, and so many kids want to play and they end up in these Pop Warner leagues and then they go to high school and they play? It's very sad what happened in one of these Georgia communities outside of Atlanta. High school football player died after he was injured at a scrimmage. It was a tackle. He was, it was blunt force, they say, head and neck trauma. And you wonder why this doesn't happen more often when you think of what happens with football. A 16-year-old boy named DeAndre Terman, who died in what looked to be just a routine tackle. He's playing corner for a high school team on Friday night. Friday night football, very, very big high school football in many states, and of course in Georgia, no exception there. And here's what Glenn Ford had to say about the wait for the ambulance. That's what they worried about, and the fact that the kid, they could not get him breathing.
He wasn't breathing. He wasn't breathing at all. Time was just fading. It was just fading away, you know, to the point where we just waiting, and it just took a while for somebody to get there.
Yeah, and it took a while for someone to get there. It almost should be a rule now. Is this possible with drained resources? I guess I'm answering my own question. High school football, a game like that on a Friday night, they don't have some kind of an ambulance close by? I mean, I know it's not the pros, for goodness sake. I know it's not college, but there's no MASH unit, no attendant that's there on the sidelines. I've been to games where I've seen that before, and maybe it depends on the area
I know,
and how many games and stuff.
You know, it was a while back when I was in high school, but when I was there, we had an ambulance on site for, I know for sure, for football, and I think basketball, too, and hockey. But, I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, it depends on how big of a town you're in or what the rules are or what it is, but I know when I was in high school, we had for sure an ambulance on site.
Sure, because something happens and then boom, at least you have a much better chance. 15 minutes, no chance, no way. Seconds to spare, and who knows if it would have made a difference or not, but it's too bad that it took that long to actually get to him, where they're standing there waiting. And imagine the kid who tackled him, how they feel about it. And that's got to be weighing on him. I mean, it was an accidental thing. It was a blunt trauma. And as I mentioned, there have been some terrible things that have happened in high school football. Guys that have been paralyzed, other kids that have died. And usually it's dehydration or something else. Sometimes it was a practice deal. But here this was a high school scrimmage, and he was tackled. And you wonder how, you know, you just wonder how many other things like this have almost happened. And as Matt said, and I remember when I was in high school, there was always seemed to be an ambulance nearby to me. I remember going to the high school games, and they were there. And I've been to my nephew's high school games. I've been to a couple of those over the years, and I believe there's been an ambulance there. I can remember seeing it out of the corner of my eye on the side of the field. So this may be something that changes in Georgia, if it's possible to make that happen, because it's a freak thing, but would you risk something like that happening again? I'd also mention this at the top. I want to make sure I give you the payoff. What is wrong with people that they just pick up the phones and start dialing 911? I lost my cat. Can you help me? My burger wasn't delivered. And then Google goes out. So worldwide internet traffic plunged, they say, by 40% on Friday night because the Google search engine went dark between 1 and 5 minutes. Boy, what does that tell you about Google? It's not a shock, because we know that, right? But 40%? The company isn't really saying much on the lapse, you know, other than to say they had a brief message posted to Google Apps dashboard that acknowledged what was happening, and that's it. But I can't remember this ever happening anywhere. I've never heard like anything like this before. So to have that go down, probably a big surprise for all the people that at the same time were trying to figure something out. What happened? They start calling 911. There is a problem when your search engine goes down and you call 911. That's not a good thing. It's not. But it does show you 40% drop in internet traffic is huge. So we know that people go to Google as one of the big search engines. And, you know, they did the thing you do when you're in that business. Go to the dashboard. We explained it there. Go there and you can figure out what happened, because why not point them in the direction of your product rather than wait for somebody else to say something about it, right? Makes sense. What a perfect way to end this show. I mentioned when I went back east a couple of weeks ago how I saw that still the Jersey Shore was ravaged by Hurricane or Superstorm Sandy, because it wasn't really a hurricane, Superstorm Sandy, and that people were rebuilding. I saw a lot of rebuilding. I saw a lot of things that were still a wreck with the Atlantic City boardwalk. I mean, most of it cleaned up, but a lot of things still in progress, let's say. And then there was this wild story that surfaced about a jar that was thrown into the ocean. Then you love these stories. Message in a bottle. 50 years ago by a boy coming back from a family trip to Seaside Heights, New Jersey. They think it was buried in the sand for however long, for decades. It must be decades because it's 50 years ago. So in 1963, Dennis Comsa threw the glass jar with a note in, had a nickel and an envelope as well, with his Paterson, New Jersey return address into the ocean. And then he said, to whom it may concern, please fill out the following questions and mail. It's a scientific experiment by Dennis Comsa, age 12. They found, when the jar was found, he wanted to know who found it, where, and how. He wrote the nickel was to be used to buy a stamp so the person who discovered the jar could write him back. Too bad that that won't work this time around, because the cost of stamps have gone up. There was a woman from Pennsylvania who was cleaning her driveway and found the note in the glass jar. She thought it was meant to be found. They were reunited. He's now 61. He lives in Hillsboro, New Jersey. He said it was, well, good that the bottle surfaced. It shows that anything's possible. A nice reaction. All right, thanks for listening to America Tonight.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.